The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about seek truth, not error, and then we'll talk about the essence of covenant. Overview: most believers focus on finding fault with others instead of finding the truth that others have that they lack. This broadcast discusses in detail why it is so vital to focus on seeking truth wherever you can find it and ignoring error. We will start by noting we have 6,000 years learning all there is to learn about evil and error, and that there has only been one human with no error. We will then note that there is only one being with all error, and I will enjoin you to seek truth amongst the error, and encourage you to focus on truth and not focus on error. I will then advise you not to talk about error, but to share truth. I'll then explain that the End Time Issue Ministry's calling is to act as a catalyst and facilitator to collect, collate, and distribute truth. We will then examine the essence of covenant in terms of Yah's approach, and we will start by noting that covenant is a promise or agreement, and that there's a penalty for breaking covenant. I will finally present a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers, and finally we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're going to talk about seek truth, not error. Most believers focus on finding fault with others instead of finding the truth that others have that they lack. This broadcast discusses in detail why it is so vital to focus on seeking truth wherever you can find it and ignoring error. As of the 10th of December 2022, I wrote, I continue to see how believers get sidetracked on the errors or perceived errors of others and fail to recognize the truth that those others have. No human being has 100% error. Only Satan has 100% error. And no human being has 100% truth. Only Yah has 100% truth. So seek truth and ignore the error. If the error offends you, just walk away from it. Do not get into a fight in case you're judging falsely. This principle is important in considering what you find on my website. There's much that is controversial and unconventional. Do not get offended if you find something you consider to be error. Park it and look for what you do perceive to be truth. Ultimately, go to Father Yah and ask him to help you. Folks, this is such an important principle. Everybody on the planet has error. Rejecting somebody because they have error is a pretty pointless exercise, because if you rejected all the people around you who had error, you'd be left only with yourself. And since you got error, you get a little bit stretched out trying to get away from yourself. So, you know, just take people as they come, look for what truth they may have that you lack, and move on. Or don't move on, but don't have fights about it. So I'm talking from the article 2013-0501, Seek Truth, Not Error. In February 2001, Father gave me a message titled Seek Truth, Not Error. In the years that followed, he's repeatedly stressed this principle to me, and I'm now impressed to share the concept again. Point number one, 6,000 years learning all there is to learn about evil and error. About 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Chava, Eve, ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they set mankind on a journey to learn all evil. They already had access to all good. As a consequence, we now live in the most evil generation that has ever lived, and we're surrounded by evil and not by much good. Even that which we think to be good is often corrupt and error. This is far more widespread and far more deep-seated than it may seem to you right now, as will be evidenced in the messages that you are willing will follow this one. Folks, this is such an important principle to understand. Humankind has been on the planet for a tad over 6,000 years, about 6,020 years. When they started, Adam and Chava, Eve, had access to all truth. They had no error, they had no sin, until they disobeyed Father and ate that fruit. The fruit's irrelevant. It's the disobedience that matters. And so 6,000 years later, mankind has slid and slid and slid and slid into greater deception, greater error, greater sin. So you're surrounded by people who are in error and sin. Chances are you're in error and in sin, you just don't know it. Because if you knew it, you wouldn't do it, would you? So there's only been one human being with no error. It is also so that there's only been one human being who lived a life without error and without sin. And that is Yeshua, the anointed of Yah of Nazareth in Israel, who lived about 2,000 years ago and who died to provide an atoning sacrifice for our sins and to show us the way to serve Yah and overcome with the prospect of eternal life with him and Yah in heaven. Accordingly, if you examine me or any other person, you will sooner or later find error and sin. The same applies to any article, book, teaching, etc. Believing that there are human beings who are without sin today is foolishness in the extreme. Accordingly, whether it be your shepherd, pastor, imam, rabbi, priest, whatever, or your husband or your wife or whoever, do not expect them to be perfect and without error, and do not be surprised when you discover that they do have error. It's just part of the human condition, folks. I continue to find things that I thought were this way, and then I realized they're that way. So I prayed pretty much every night, Father, lead me into all truth by your Spirit. Show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. And as I continue to pray that, I continue to have revelation about things that I misunderstood, things that I didn't understand, things that I was in error about. I had a major flurry of revelation about 6 months ago into a whole bunch of things that I'd done wrong where I thought I was being led by Father and I wasn't. So, folks, it's an ongoing journey to seek all truth. For the same reason, when you encounter teachings, expect to find that there is error mixed with truth, or more likely, truth mixed with error. Refusing to read anything written by an individual because they've been found to have error is foolishness and will quite possibly cut you off from important truths. I publish quite regularly by email, emails with links to YouTube videos of religious teachings. I don't necessarily agree with everything that the teachers have to say, but some of their message is valid and valuable. I got an email some time ago from a guy that I really esteem saying that he would not listen to anything from a particular American teacher because, quote, he's got demons. So, firstly, pretty much everybody on the planet's got demons, so what's the big deal? Secondly, we're told not to judge. Thirdly, the person involved, the reason that I shared his recordings, is that in my opinion, he has some really important truths which he teaches more accurately than anyone else I know of. Or I should say taught, because he passed away some decades ago. But it is tragic and stupid for this man to say, this great emissary, this great apostle, this great general has got some demons that I think I discern, and therefore I'm going to have nothing to do with him. If that person took that to the logical extent, they would go and live on top of a mountain in a monastery and not talk to anybody else for the rest of their lives. Then there's only one being with all error. To make take the matter further, there's only one being that has all error, and that is Satan. Thus it is so that even extremely evil people have truth. They could not function without some truth in their lives. So the principles upon witchcraft and other satanic activities are based are also truths. Thus, if one is called to minister to people in those areas, one must be willing to sift the truth from the error. So we hear about Satanists and witches doing astral projection. But the truth is that there are believers, or there have been believers through the ages, who have also used astral projection. The Satanists, the witches, use it for evil. The believers used it for good. So just rejecting everything that they teach, and I'm not suggesting that you should go out now and start learning from Satanists. I'm just making the point. I had the experience back in 2001 to bring a really strong Satanist to repentance and relationship with Father. And I would have benefited if I had known more about what he knew and what he believed as a way of engaging with him and getting him set free of the stuff that was holding him in bondage. As it was, Father had recently given me a very powerful deliverance and cleansing process, and I took him through that, immersed him three times. He had a dramatic experience of the third time he went under the water, having a vision of the gates of heaven opening for him. Now, that sort of experience is something that will radically change a person's life. Then seek truth amongst the error. It therefore becomes apparent that in searching for truth, one must constantly sift through the error. As the wheat and the chaff are mixed together intimately and difficult to separate until the season is right, so the truth and the error are frequently difficult to separate. In fact, we've grown up in a world so filled with error that much of what we believe to be truth turns out to be error. For example, most of us have grown up believing that the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is the Lord, capital letters, and or God. And it comes as a shock to most to learn that those are in fact pagan, in other words, satanic names. And it is only through the grace of our Almighty Father in heaven that he's seen fit to answer our prayers and have any sort of relationship with us. But that grace has been withdrawn. As you dig further into the subject, as I hope to in the days ahead, you will increasingly discover that there are other things that you have taken to be truth which are in fact error. And you may even discover that there's some things you thought were error that are in fact truth. So by way of example, I published last week an article, Can You Prove That Jesus Is God? And that's a response to a revelation that I was given by Father in 2001, that Yeshua, Jesus, is not Yah. He's an independent human being. It took me 10 years to come to terms with that revelation. It's taken me another however many years to come to a place where I think I can teach about it effectively. And the article that I wrote was something like 54 points, rebutting arguments as to why Jesus is God. And if you're battling with that, I suggest you read that article. It is on the website. Then focus on truth. Do not focus on error. In all of this, focus on the truth. Do not focus on the error. Take it for granted. Error is there, be it you, your pastor, your imam, your rabbi, your priest, whoever, your boss, your wife, your husband, or any other person you might be inclined to put on some sort of pedestal. Yeshua said in Matthew, gift of Yah, in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. This is the same principle. Do not look for error in others. Deal with your own error and look to others for truth that will help you to find your error and deal with it. There are a couple of dimensions to that passage from the Bible. Number one, you will, as you judge, so you will be judged. So if you judge people harshly, when you come to your judgment, you will be judged harshly. So for example, the man that I referenced a few minutes ago condemning the anointed servant because he had demons, that man, and he regularly passes judgment on people and situations, that man is going to be harshly judged when he dies if he doesn't shape up and stop the stuff that he's doing. It's not worth it, folks. Rather just be a little bit more generous and a little bit more tolerant. Then do not talk about error. Share truth. In the same way, do not talk about error. Do not gossip and tell others about the errors you found in people. If you cannot talk well of someone or some organization, rather say nothing. Websites that seek to expose the error of others are doing the work of the accuser, and those people will find themselves demonized and on the side of Satan. The more you look at the works of Satan in people, the more you will begin to look like Satan and learn Satan's ways. The more you broadcast about evil, the more you will be sucked into evil. When you encounter error and Yah clearly instructs you to make it known, then do only what he tells you to do, no more and no less. Otherwise, just ignore it and either stop associating with that person if you're unable to do anything to constructively influence them, or their sin offends you, or focus on what is right in that person and ignore the error. Then, talk about the truth that you believe you have, and if you're attacked, just leave it. It's not your job to force your truths on others. It's your job to sow what you have to sow, and leave it to Yah to water and bring the seed to fruition. There are people who have me on their mailing lists, who constantly publish emails screaming about this error, or this politician or that politician or this pastor or that whatever. Folks, all you're doing is publicizing and giving glory to Satan if your message is true. So the End Time Issue Ministry's calling is to act as a catalyst and a facilitator to collect, collate, and distribute truth. For about 10 years at the time of writing this article, Yah had been calling me to act as a catalyst and facilitator to collect, collate, and distribute truth, primarily up to then by email publishing. Remember, this article was written in 2013, so nearly 10 years ago. At times I've been obedient, and at other times I've wandered off on side journeys. In the process, I had to deal with major error in my own life, a process that continues to this day. He's now strongly called me back to do what he's called me to do, and I'm in the process of preparing myself for this with the fasts that are currently in process. Part of this role is simply to publish that information which I particularly hold to be truth. As I say, that was written in 2013. 2014... my wife at the time and I did a major project of adding content to the website. In fact, a large portion of the website was created in 2014, 2015. Subsequently, I've had a few spurts of adding content. In the last year or so, I've added quite a substantial amount of content. Where I find truth, I share it. As I said earlier, I'm publishing regular articles, or not really articles, just links to YouTube teachings which I believe are valid and valuable. I don't agree with everything that those people say, but I'm applying the principles that I'm advocating here. And every now and then I upload a collection of those onto the website. Part of the role that I've just talked about for my ministry, and as far as I can currently see, a major part of that role in the future will be to act as a facilitator and catalyst for collecting and collating truth in the days ahead. Currently, I understand this to be a website that will provide a forum for anyone who has content they consider to be truth to publish that truth without censorship. In time, I hope that this website will be supported by a team of prophetic intercessors around the world, will be led by the Spirit of Yah to identify specific articles, add words from Yah, classify the articles in terms of accuracy, down to the level of a paragraph or sentence, etc. Seems that the ministry may also include platform speaking, or at least some subjects such as the true name of Yah, etc. The audience for this work will include those who believe and also those who do not, anyone who's seeking truth. If you feel led to contribute to this work or participate in any way, please contact me. Sadly, none of that's come to fruition other than I've got a website with about 2,500 articles, over 2,000 web pages in printed form. It's about 10,000 A4 pages. Huge amount of material there, 95% originated by myself, by revelation from Father. There's a huge need to take it further. At the moment, my vision is to have at least 4 or 5 or 6 additional websites. I've got a small Spanish website, Hebrew, Jewish, Mandarin, Chinese, Hindi, Indian, maybe 1 or 2 other key languages to reach as many people as possible. But it's going to cost me thousands, if not tens of thousands of pounds to do that, and I don't have the financial resources to do that. So if you're able to help, I'd love to hear from you. In conclusion, on Seek Truth, Not Error, I appeal to all those who listen to this to focus on truth and not on error. It does not matter how offensive you find someone's error. They have truth hidden somewhere. If you're called to find truth, then seek it. If not, either move on or avoid getting sucked into error, and at the same time realize that you probably have less truth than you think, and look constantly for truth which others have which you lack. This principle has been absolutely key in my walk with Father since he first spoke to me about it. To me, it's so intuitively sound. Everybody's got truth. Some of that truth is relevant to you. So if you meet somebody new, learn what you can learn from them, and then either just remain in fellowship and friendship and ignore the bits you don't like, or move on. You don't have to have a fight about it. You don't have to get offensive about it. Just say, you know, be nice knowing you. You don't even have to say anything. Just drift away. Focus on seeking truth. Don't focus on error. And whatever you do, do not publicize error. Don't write emails or websites about this one's in error and the error of this one. Somebody sent me something the other day with a whole lot of pictures of a composite of anointed believers who may or may not have gone off track in the latter part of their lives. The exposition of all of the errors. Folks, what's that? It's just glorifying Satan. Please don't do it. So I'm going to continue the article 2022-0103, The Essence of Covenant in Terms of Yah's Approach. At the time I wrote this, I said in several recent articles, I've made reference to covenant in the context of sexual congress between man and woman. In this broadcast, I will explain a bit more about what I'm referring to as I understand it, based on an awareness of covenant going back some decades and based on practical experience. Following are the key points, followed by a copy of an article written in January 2011 on the blood of any covenant means death to those who break it, published on the ETI website under the webpage covenant, webpage The Blood Means Death, which remains relevant today. Encyclopedia Britannica, in an article on covenant, provides a very detailed analysis of covenant in the context of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. See Mendel Hall, George Emery, Covenant, Encyclopedia Britannica, 13th July 2012, on the website britannica.com under topics /covenant covenant-religion. The interpretation of primitive life is colored by wrong understanding, but the basic article establishes the antiquity of the concept of covenant. Covenant is also a legal term in law. It refers to a strong contract. It's used particularly in certain contexts. But the key thing to understand is that Yah works on a covenant basis. He enters into covenant with people. He makes promises with people. People make promises to him. And if you mess up and walk away from a covenant, it's not a pretty sight. The most fundamental covenant statement is at Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, Yah the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, is our mighty one, not God. Yah the Eternally Self-Existing is one. You shall love Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This article headlines the critical considerations with regard to covenant, and the legacy article at the end goes into more detail. Folks, this is such an important passage from the Bible. The only reason we exist as human beings is to have a deep personal relationship with Father. So if you're an unbeliever and you die, Father does not have anywhere to put you. All you're going to hear from him is you did not keep the covenant promise that I've just referred to. Love Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, your Mighty One, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. So there's nowhere for you to go, so you're just going to stay on earth as a demon. If you're a believer and you have no relationship with Father, you're going to go in the outer darkness, and arguably the outer darkness is worse than being a demon, ancestor spirit trapped in the grave. Folks, you don't want to go there. You want to have a deep personal relationship with Father, because that's the only thing that is worth doing in this life. So covenant is a promise or agreement. From Google, we find that a covenant is, quote, a promise or agreement under consideration, usually under seal or guarantee between two parties. And the seal or symbol of guarantee is that which distinguishes covenant from modern contract. In this context of this article in 2014, I wrote, covenant relates to the fundamental contractual relationship between Yah and mankind and between human beings. A covenant is a robust contract that contains benefits to either party if the covenant is honored and penalties for the party that breaks the covenant. It is not possible to fully understand Yah or what Yeshua achieved or marriage or commerce if you do not understand covenant. The most robust form of covenant involves blood as a form of oath associated with death if the covenant is broken. The satanic forces understand covenant very well, and they use it highly effectively to control their followers and also to trap believers. See the webpage Covenant on the website. We'll talk more about this in a minute, but the fundamental thing here is Yah is about covenant. Covenant is really important to him. He is the author of the principles and the concept of covenant. So when you enter into an agreement with Father, it's a covenant agreement. If you break that covenant, then you're going to end up, as I said, in the outer darkness as a demon on earth or in hell. Season for to be tormented and corrected of your sin. There's a penalty for breaking covenant, as is established clearly in this broadcast. There's a penalty associated with breaking covenant for breaking one's word. This distinguishes covenant from promises and vows. And then, key point in terms of hardcore covenant. Blood of the covenant, including communion, means death. In particular, as discussed further in a minute, if the covenant involves blood, with the blood of a sacrificial animal, the blood of a virgin, male semen containing the elements of blood, or taking the wine of the covenant of Yeshua, communion, there is inherently a death penalty. Although in the current age, due to the level of error and deception, there is generally grace for this, although the death penalty may be invoked at judgment, leading to time in hell if the breach is not repented of and appropriately resolved in this life. It's all very well to go to church and take a sip of the communion wine. That wine represents the blood of Yeshua shed on the stake that fell down onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He died a terrible death to enter into the covenant that is available to you and to me through belief in the covenant of Yeshua. It is right and fitting that if you break that covenant, you should be tormented in hell. I can't make that point clearly enough. Hell is not some weird, perverse thing that the Almighty dreamt up. Hell is the place where you pay the price for your sin because you have failed to walk in the covenant of Yeshua. Then the taking and giving of virginity is a covenant act. As noted a moment ago and previously in the articles I've broadcast the last few weeks, the shedding of blood associated with first intercourse in sexual consummation represents the blood of a covenant. This covenant locks in whatever may have been agreed between the man and woman, whatever is implicit in their relationship, and unless explicitly excluded, the default terms of the Virgin's Covenant. See the article, Essence of Message, Re-Virgin's Covenant, on the website. Promises given and received in a marriage ceremony before first intercourse are also locked in by first intercourse. All promises given and received and sealed by taking communion associated with that are also locked in with the court of heaven. Folks, communion, the rehearsing the covenant meal, whatever you want to call it, the bread and wine of the covenant, is extremely powerful. And you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to take it lightly. Likewise, virginity. Likewise, sexual intercourse. These are covenant acts. So the reason that Father doesn't like divorce is because it's breaking covenant. But if one party breaks covenant, it's a basis for divorce. And the church is in serious error with what they teach. It's a straightforward matter. There was a covenant, a set of covenant agreements entered into when the marriage was consummated. If the one party violates those terms, the marriage is null and void, and the one party is going to pay the price. Then male ejaculation in the vagina is a covenant act. Since the semen of the male contains both salt and the elements of blood, male ejaculation in the vagina is a covenant act, and first intercourse where there is no hymen is still a covenant act. So sexual intercourse with a woman who is a real virgin, a widow, or truly divorced introduces an automatic covenant based on the terms referred to above. At some level, telephone sex between believers where the woman is a virgin, as per above, has covenant implications. A weak one-flesh bond is formed with remote telephone or similar sex. And you don't want to do that with an unbeliever. The court of heaven is very strict with regard to breach. It's vital to understand that the court of heaven, in other words, Yah as judge of all creation, is very strict concerning breach of covenant. Where there is explicit and manifest breach and every attempt has been made to reconcile, the severity of the covenant, the severance of the covenant, in other words, divorce, will be readily granted. Where there is not manifest breach, then asking for the severance, in other words, divorce, is futile. It will not be granted. In particular, see the article 2022-0101, The Implications of Careless Sexual Activity and Resulting One-Flesh Bonds and Covenants, on the web page of that name, Implication of Careless Sexual Activity, in the article 2022-0102, Unrighteous Divorce is Treachery, on the web page, Unrighteous Divorce is Treachery, for case studies where divorce was not granted and the damage caused by damage was caused by unrighteous attempts at divorce. Do not enter into covenant lightly. The bottom line is that one should not enter into covenant lightly. Be absolutely certain about what you're doing. You are not going to get out of it easily, and generally you will not get out of a covenant without significant loss and pain. as an extension of that, casual sex is massively damaging to a believer. Elaborating on the previous point, casual sex on the part of believers is massively damaging and should be avoided at all costs. Once you've consummated, you're locked in for life, barring gross breach by one of the parties, in which case that party will potentially suffer major loss. In conclusion, I hope that this has clarified the situation with regard to covenant. Please read the article below and be very careful about how you enter into agreements and covenants going forward. Go to the website, the webpage, Essence of Covenant, and look there for further information. There's another article which is appended to this article which discusses covenant in more detail. So this can apply to business agreements. At some level, any formal contract is a covenant and is to some extent governed by Yah's laws of covenant. Don't give your word lightly. Yeshua said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't go beyond that. It's a big subject, folks. I've talked a lot about the sex thing in the last month or so, but it's really important. And it applies to all sorts of other things too. So postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the article, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers on the website. To sum that up, you are not a glove puppet or a string puppet. Father is not manipulating you and directing you. He's not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. Day in and day out. So prosperity requires that you work hard and sensibly and effectively to earn your living. It's no good sitting at home believing that Father's going to provide for you. You've got to get a job. I work hard to support this ministry. I believed for many years, I prayed for many years, Father, guide me by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. And for years I believed that he was doing that. In the process, I made numerous, numerous mistakes. And I only woke up to this about a year ago, probably 10, 15, maybe 20 years from the time that Father first said to me, James, you're not a glove puppet. But I didn't get it. There is so much teaching. There are so many people who believe that if you're a believer, Father takes control of your life and lives your life through it. He created you to be his friend. Why would he want to manipulate and control you? It doesn't make sense when you actually stop and think about it. So I'd like to close off by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this whole universe exists. The solar system, planet Earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, the air, the plants, the animals, all exist to create an environment for you and me as human beings to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to be friends of the Almighty. And just about nobody on the earth knows that. let alone tries to be that. Father Yah is desperately lonely. He wants people who will turn to him and seek relationship with him. He doesn't want you to work through whatever it is, 361 laws, or this law, or that book, or this imam, or that rabbi, or this pastor, or this priest, or this whatever. No, he wants to have a deep personal relationship with you. Some key documents and video on the main menu of the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, another one to Jews, to Muslims, to other religions, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There's at least three podcast websites that have back issues of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu in the compilation of most writings page. These are all formatted PDFs ready for printing. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. They're all along the top of the web page, the website. Homepage, or the menu, in fact, on every page. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I will connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. It doesn't matter your race, whether you're African, Asian, Indian, European, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, thin or fat, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes or black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. Father wants you to become his friend. It's that simple, folks. There's only one reason why you exist, and that is to be the friend, or be a friend, of the Almighty Creator, to do his will, to talk to him, to worship him, to spend time with him, to involve him in your life. You can do it. It's not that difficult. It just takes a change in mindset. You can go to him right now and say, Father, James says, you want to become my friend. You want me to become your friend. I haven't got a clue how to do that, and I'm asking you to help me to become a friend. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want out. Show me what to read. Help me. He's there for you. He'll meet you wherever you are. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.